bring a happy heart, a happy book, and my happy socks. Some of you don't know, you're old-fashioned folks, that's what they call happy socks anymore. They don't match, but they're happy. All right? They match. Now, I'm 52 years old, and I can still do this. All right? Now, I hope I can be 35 and do that. All right? That's my goal. And so praise the Lord this morning. Well, thank you for allowing us to be here this week. We've enjoyed ourselves, Pastor. You've just been so gracious. And thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and to make our family feel welcome. You know, when you first walk in, you're missionaries, you relate to this. You know, we travel over 135. That's nothing compared. We got a the truck driver. What's your name? What's his name first? His name Gas Up? Okay. Well, anyway, he's a truck driver. He drove over 4 million miles in his ministry. Oh, my mother said my mouth was so big I didn't need one of these. But being deaf, you know, you speak louder than you realize it. And I was offered a job in Brooklyn, New York one time, and they were wanting to put me in a mission department, not a mission department, but a duplex, and with co-workers on the other side of the wall. And I said, man, if I wake up in the morning without my hearing aids, I start talking so loud, you'll all think I'm fighting my wife. So anyway, he's driven 4 million miles in his time of working. So we've only, in a deputation, 135,000 miles traveling. God's been very good to us, keeping us safe. And we're grateful what you did last night for our girls, you know, just touched them. And I know they're delighted. They got home last night. Damn, we got this much. You know, we're so grateful for it. And, of course, I know you all, you know, I told folks around here, it's just so gracious. And you know, missionary, I think we owe the pastor, we all have to understand that the building of this day or this week took some 18, 19 years. And it's a process of time where they teach and to train and bring people along. Pastor Blue, Brother Blue, I was told last night, came here several years ago and taught Faith Promise. And so if he came and taught Faith Promise to these dear folks, and you know, missionary, we owe him a debt as well, because you and I would not be here. 9 missionaries to come to this conference. And in this country church up here in the hills of Tennessee somewhere, I mean, we got to look for it, but we found it, amen. And GPS don't even know where it is, okay? So, but we're glad to be here. I'm so thankful to find a man of God up here. And I was with Brother Williams, Brian Williams. You know, you'll forgive me for being with me in the first place, but you know, when I met Brian Williams, I thought he was the NBC newsman, the liar guy. No, I mean, you get it. And so, one wise man up here. And so, Brian Williams was kicked off the job because he was lying on the job, you know. And so, but Brian Williams, bless his heart, he told me about you all, and he loves you and respects you, and I've come to respect him. And I love and respect him as well. Thank you for supporting Dean Francini, missionary to the deaf, church planter, deaf church planter out in Colorado Springs. You pray for him as he tries to do the work that God calls him to do. It's quite a challenging when he came out of the Marine Corps of 20 years and he has a love for the Lord. He wants to put his life experience and work into the ministry. As many of us know, it's a whole brand new ballpark when you start something new. And Brother Dean had a heart for the deaf, and he wants to go up to pray for him this morning. I appreciate if you would lift him up in prayer. Dean Francini, he's trying to do the work God called him to do, and he got some. You know, people come along, and he needs the right people. And of course, ministry is a road of learning. It's a process of learning and growing, and learning how to. You know, there's one thing to sit in the pews and watch how the pastor does it, but it's a whole different ballpark to try to run the show. And so you pray for us as we try to we go to Columbus, Ohio to start this deaf church. We're excited about it. And we've got a group of people waiting for us. And they're, you know, we just get this finished. And we get about 6 more churches. We'll be ready to go. And there's supplies that need to be bought. Now, deaf church is different than a hearing church. You know, I don't use the piano. I don't use an organ, which I think you can all understand that. And but then again, who knows? I've actually had a hearing man ask me, do the deaf have a Braille Bible? They thought the deaf have a Braille Bible. I mean, we're deaf. We're not blind. But anyway, so there's many things different about the deaf. And so we will use overhead projector things because deaf people are visual. You know, in the old days we used chalkboards, and I did them too. But if we can make everything ready before we get to the service, it'll save time. And so we'll use projectors, and it helps us. And, you know, when I'm preaching throughout the Bible, I can be able to find, have studied beforehand and got the things ready on the screen, and all I have to do is move along. Lord willing, believe it or not, we'll have a sound booth. We will have a sound booth because of the camera that we want to be able to put to be able to reach the area with the deaf. There are people all over the world that literally come to the United States of America, go to the internet on the United States of America to hear the gospel. There are people in China, there are people in different places around the world that go to the internet and to find a gospel preaching church that are deaf. And so we hope to use this as an opportunity. I've been working with the deaf for 33 years, so it kind of helps me. You have to understand, though, years ago, man, I was asking my wife this morning what your name was. What was it? Caleb? Brother Caleb, you know, he's far advanced than I was when I was 22 years old. You should have seen me when I was 22 years old. I was shy, timid, scared. My legs were shaking so bad. I couldn't speak. I couldn't stand straight. Now, I remember a pastor's wife told me when I was preaching to her husband's church, she said, I was praying for you to get the next word out of your mouth. Man, I shake so bad, my leg would shake so much, that I'd go home and take my happy socks off, shake them upside down, hair will come down. And hair will come out of my socks. Now, that's a little exaggerating there, but I really was. Up until about 15 years ago, I would throw up about every message. I get scared and intimidated by speaking in front of people. But God slowly works on you and gives you grace and gives you... He took Moses. It's not I who made the deaf, dumb, and the blind. My pastor in Oklahoma asked me one time when I went in there, I said, Lord, Pastor, do you think it's possible that God can even use me? And keep in mind my testimony about I was mentally retarded when I was getting declared mentally retarded by the state of Ohio. That's not exaggerating. That was true. And in the 10th grade, I said, you'll never make it. I was a shy, timid kid that just couldn't make it around. Well, I went to my pastor's office years ago, and I said, I just got done listening to a man that had no legs. He was a preacher. He was a preacher back in those days. He was among the independent Baptists with no legs. He came from the Vietnam War, and I saw another man preaching with two hearing aids on. And I walked into my pastor's office one day, and I asked him shortly after that. I said, preacher, do you think it's possible that God can use me? And I was too shy. I'd asked my preacher one time, he and I went soul winning. On a Thursday night, and I asked the preacher, how does a young man overcome his insecurities? How does a young man overcome his intimidations? How does he overcome his fear of people? And, you know, just the lack of confidence, if you would. And he immediately responded to me. He said, you read biographies of people that overcame. And that's been a big encouragement to me, to watch people, observe people, read about people. So if you have insecure issues, you know, it's not the end of the road for you. You know, God, it's actually the beginning of what God wants to do with something from the very beginning to bring you to this point. God used Moses. I went into his office one day, and he said, Scott, open the Bible. And I asked him that question. He asked me to read the Bible. And, I mean, open the Bible in Exodus chapter 4. And he said, read verse 10, 11, and 12. Is it not I who made the deaf, dumb, and the blind? And he said, which one are you? I said, well, I'm deaf. He said, no, you're dumb. Yes, God can use you. I said, you have to understand my preacher. You have to understand my preacher. He has 9 brothers, 2 sisters, green beret, handled every snake under the sun. He's a marksman and everything else. You know, he's a one wild guy. And, but then Jeremiah, I remember standing up. I would read this verse, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am the Lord thy God. I am with you. I'm sitting there shaking on 3x5 car, and I'm reading that. And I remember when in our college years, we get about 18 preacher boys, 9 at a time. We line up here, and I look up at the crowd. I knew I had to preach, but I was back here in the choir loft, and I knew my time was coming. Every preacher had to preach 5 minutes at a time. And when we came up 5 minutes, and we had this green bell, or this green light to go, and this yellow light to caution, you got 1 minute, and then red light, get out. If you don't get out, the other preacher comes, pushes you out, and you go. That's what happens. That rarely ever happened when somebody had to push you. But I was sitting back there reading this 3x5 card. Is it not I who made the death? I mean, not that one, though. What's the other first? Jeremiah. Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. I looked up. I really would. I'm not exaggerating at all. I'm scared to death. But God works on you. See, Jeremiah says, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak, Lord. You don't understand. What my problem? I can't do this. But then, look at Jeremiah halfway through the book. He says, there's fire in my bones and I cannot stand still. And so, God got something. You keep working, keep praying, keep plotting, keep growing forward, and watch God do something. Pastor, you gave the tendency that you're 60 years old. Is that correct? And he said, well, I'm on the latter end. That's true, he is. But you know what? You pray for God's grace, give him good health, and he can stay here and keep moving forward. I know he gets tired. I heard about a preacher recently gave up. Now, don't worry about her, honey. I'm going to ask my wife. Wanted to go ahead and I got up here, got too excited. So I'm going to have her teach you a song, but you don't need to learn anything. You all know everything, right? Okay? But maybe later we'll teach you God is so good. God is so good. I let her do the thing. I won't try this thing. This true story. My roommate used to say to me, I used to sing in the shower. I used to sing in the shower while I'm taking a shower. I sing, you know, different songs from the hymn book. And my roommate came to me and said, Scott, the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but you make a harmful noise. Be quiet. So, I tried. Amen. All right, but let's go to the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs, and I need some space this morning, Pastor. Is it possible I'll move this altar down, the wood down a little bit, at least 2 minutes? We move this morning. And then that green chair, if you can come over here and set it right down there. Set it right down there, if you would. And thank you. And so here it is in Proverbs. Now, you know what? I'm in the book of Ezra. I'm going to go there in a moment, but I have no idea what my time limit is. So forgive me, Pastor. I'm doing my best, okay? But in Proverbs, I got to find it. Where do you find it at? Where's it located? Can you come up here and find it for me? Okay, I found it. Okay, thank you. I was just kidding. Anyway, in Proverbs, if I can't find Proverbs after 33 years, I'm pretty slow. Okay? But in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Pull away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lip, and put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, help us this morning. We beg for your mercy. We beg for your grace. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us and bring this message that you put on our hearts to be able to make it clear. Help us, Lord, to be able to speak as we can be understood. And Father, help me to get out of your way. And Lord, allow you to work through me this morning. I thank you for what you do and what you will do. And I thank you, Lord, what you've already done this week and already in the hearts of the feet of these dear, dear, dear people. And may your hand continue to be with us this morning through the next couple hours and the different messages and tonight and tomorrow. We'll certainly thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4. I'm going to go to the book of Ezra also here in a moment, but I'm kind of thinking yesterday morning I was going to bring one message, but you know, then Pastor said there's going to be more church members here today, and so it's kind of a mixture of both. I have a message entitled Changing the Environment of the Heart, and that was more of what was going yesterday, but today it's a little different this morning as I take two messages and make them one. But here in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then it goes on to say over here, it says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we see here, hang on. I tell you what, I got a better idea. Let me use a young man. You come up here. In Proverbs, I'll use you in a minute, okay? You sit down there, okay? You've heard this, Brother Williams, haven't you? Okay, I was at their church, and I'm going to go a different direction this morning. But in Proverbs chapter number 4, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep thy heart with all diligence. Being with the deaf, I would have to explain more about the Bible and the words of the Bible. And so I'm constantly studying the Word of God, especially in the words, because I'm trying to make it clear in their language. And the language is different. I don't have time this morning to explain everything about that language. But, if you take these sometimes complicated words, so I have to find a better way of explaining to them. And so here this morning, you want to keep your hands in pockets? I told a young man this morning, I said, when I was a kid, if I put my hand in my pocket, that means I'm not doing anything. Okay. All right. Would you teach a boy at work? Okay. All right. But anyway, here this morning, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word diligence has to do with guarding. Keep thy heart with all guarding, for out of it are the issues of life. You're constantly on guard. Keep thy heart. This is your heart this morning. And you keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the decisions of life. If we don't be careful this morning, what comes into our hearts, we will allow what comes into our hearts will flow through our decisions. Understand this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. If you go back to verse 24, 25, 26, you'll begin to read different types of sins and the guarding that you must have. And I understand it also includes anger. But here it is. The Bible says here, let's look there for a moment. I'm trying to speed ahead, but I got to be careful. You pray for me this morning. God, just do what God wants. Slow it down. Make sure it's clear. I don't want to be ahead of God this morning. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible says, it said, I got all this writing on my Bible. I can't even read it. I got all these marks. Here, let me see here. So here in verse 22, it says here, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, I want you to understand about the old man this morning. If you're struggling in something in your own personal life, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you study the word become means a linear action, meaning I'm becoming new. When I got saved on March 22nd, 1982, the tears streaming down my face, I literally cried out, Lord Jesus. There were some things in my life that I instantly was able to get rid of. But yet, there are some other struggles in some other areas that I had to constantly be moving forward. If you look at the word, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. It'll become new. If you look at the linear action, it is going to mean God saved me, I didn't instantly, overnight, change my ways. I have known Christians sinners who come to Christ and they struggle with certain areas of their life. They may struggle and they cannot seem to get victory, but they continue to remain faithful. They read the Word of God. They attend church faithfully. They try to do all that they know to please God. But then one day they heard a message after being saved, in some cases several years, they finally get victory and they were able to roll off that sin, if you would. But the Bible said, I am becoming a new creature. I will never become until I get to heaven. You understand this morning in your old body, sinful flesh, you are always struggling in something. If you had already arrived, you wouldn't need God anymore. But thankfully this morning, it says that I am becoming. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, we see here, it says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, neither let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Proverbs 4:27, it says, keeping thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm constantly walking, I'm constantly on guard, keeping my heart guarded by the outside world exposing to my heart. What you may have a television home, or if you have watched the television, you have to be careful what comes into your heart. What books you open up, the humanistic teaching, you have to be careful what comes into your heart. Parents try to do what they can to make sure that their children are not exposed to the things which they don't understand. It is because the Bible, and you have to understand this, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart in the book of Proverbs. You will find that in chapter 23. It says, my son, give me thine heart. If it says my son, that son is already saved. I'm saying this morning, when you become a Christian, you don't automatically become new. It is a process of time when God is constantly working in your heart, in your spirit, and to make you more and more Christ-like. It is a constant devotion to our Lord as we read the Word of God to move toward the becoming what we sometimes. You know, I was talking to Pastor Sexton last afternoon, I believe it was, and you know, and we were saying, you know, people come to your church, they see what's going on here, and they think it's a wonderful thing, but they don't understand what it was like 18 years ago. They had no missionaries, none. So in the process of time, he's trying to bring the sheep along and teach them and love them and care for them, patiently work with them. And then he's bringing, what he's doing, that God has ordained this man of God to bring forth, and he's coming forth toward more Christ-likeness. As the more Christ-likeness comes in his life, it is often said that a church is a display of not only Christ, but the pastor who leads them. And so if that be the case, you become prayer people, people of prayer, people of caring, people of earnest concern for the lost. And I say to you this morning, what you keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You've got to be careful about what comes into your heart, for out of it are the decisions of your life. If you go into verse 26, I think it is, ponder the path of thy feet. If you go to the Hebrew word, you find the word means to roll flat. In sign language, ponder is going round. This is the sign for ponder. And I'm pondering in my mind of what I'm, you know, meditating or contemplating, or I'm constantly going, and notice that I'm going round. The word ponder in the Greek, in the Hebrew, has to do with to roll flat. Now think about this morning. Here we are, we're constantly on guard, protecting the heart, because if we don't preserve what goes in, we know that that young person will be exposed to something that is not of God. At the same time, when parents will bring them to church, they want to step aside and not have the caution, but yet they want to be able to allow their child to be exposed to the things that are good and wholesome and godly for Christ. And so therefore, they allow those type of things to come in. And they're constantly on guard, and then there comes the day that the child will have to step, the parent will step away and will see if the young person is prepared for that time, such a time as his growing up. We'll see if he's prepared for, that's what God is doing. My son, give me thine heart. Allow God to be a part of working in you. Allow God to work in your life, but at the same time, understand, if you get one, somebody said one beer drink won't hurt nobody. Tell that to an alcoholic. Tell that to one, that one drink won't hurt anybody. You take that, am I on, by the way? Am I on? Okay. As I'm going round and round and round and round and round, watch this. I go round, ponder the path of thy feet, the to roll flat. If you go up to the mountains here, my brother here from Knoxville Tabernacle, he said he likes to go climbing on the mountains. He likes to go hiking. He often will, if you go hiking, you want to stay on the right path. If you don't stay on the path, you'll get lost. You know, when I was a young boy, I got on the path. Now, I took a path and I went hiking just before dark. I was only 4 years old. I took a path, and then it got dark on me, and I got off the path. I got scared. I started crying. See, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard it. Guard it for out of the sins of your life, because the ponder the path of thy feet, and if you're constantly going round and round and round and round and round until the path becomes brown. When the path has been so trodden upon because it's trying to protect us. What I'm saying to you this morning is in Ephesians chapter 4, as I share those first 24, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, you'll begin to see in verse 25, 7, that the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. I say to you this morning, I submit to you this morning, that your heart is for rent. Something or someone is going to live in your heart. If you don't be cautious about what comes, what's settled in your heart, you will discover that either life's misery or life's blessings is going to be determined by how you guard that heart. Marriages go on the rocks because they don't guard the heart. Sometimes the husband exposes their eye gaze to the things that affects the heart, and the heart sways them to the other way. I'm saying this morning, you've got to constantly be on guard. I've been married to my wife 26 years, and I want to say to you this morning, every day of living for God is a constant battle. I remember years ago when I was in college, and I walked into the vice president's office. And I had a basketball scholarship, and they said, when I got there, I grew up in the projects of Ohio, southern Ohio, and I got there, and when I got to Oklahoma, scared to death, stayed in my room 4 days because I couldn't hear anybody, and I thought I tried one day to walk out, start talking to people, they were all carrying on laughing, and I was afraid I'd make a fool of myself. I walked back in my dorm and sat there for two or three more days because I was scared of that. Of talking to people. Shy, timid. But I remember now, I'm in my three and a half years now, and all the basketball team, everyone except two, was kicked off the basketball team. Everyone was kicked out of the school. Except two of us. One of them was getting ready to graduate, and one of them ended up getting expelled another semester later. So here I am. I'm sitting in that office, and I'm scared to death. And I looked at this vice president, and I said to him, I said, sir, I called his name, and I said, and I was crying. I said, I know I'm next. I was crying. I said, I know I'm next. I know the devil's going to try to get me. And he gave me some advice that I never will forget. He said to me, run scared. Wait a minute, you think that's nothing? But you constantly, every day, have to be running scared. Because there's always the devil is about seeking whom he may devour. You know, you constantly will be got to be on guard this morning. Your heart is for rent. Somebody or something is going to live there. It's going to be determined by the decisions you make. Ponder the path of thy feet. And remember this morning, it says, now keep this in mind, if you don't be careful, you'll have Satan running in your life. And then let me borrow you four boys up here. Come up here. You three girls back there, come up here. Help me out. I've got to hurry. I didn't even discover what time it was, what time I finished, or so forgive me. Come up here. Hustle. I'm in a hurry. I don't want to make people mad at me. Okay? And they turn me off and they get mad at me, you know? But here's what happens. Bitterness begins to live. Bitterness begins to live in your heart. And anger begins to come up here. Gather around the heart. Gather around the heart. Heart then is full of why don't you come up front? Okay. Be overshadowed. Complaining in your heart, and you have hatred in your heart, and you feel evil thoughts in your heart, and you're rebellious in your heart, selfishness in your heart, and pride in your heart, and pride comes in, and then your life is full of gossip, and you got criticism that's coming in, and then the next thing you know, you have self-pity, your heart is just full of the things that are not producing Christ-likeness, and as a result of your Christian life, you say, the Bible says, my son, give me thy heart. But the truth of the matter is, you may have said one day, like I did on March 22nd, 1982, I cried out, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart, but I live like a devil. You know, so many times they say on other countries, they say, you know, I don't want to be a Christian because they don't, the way they live. Christians are not what they should be. It's a challenge on an everyday basis, not that we must learn to live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, understand this morning, if you don't be careful, Satan will come and live in your heart. He will rule your spirits and he will rule your life. You may be a young person here this morning. You say, well, I don't want to listen to my parents no more. I'm tired of it. They try to help you, guide you, and strengthen you along the way. Your parents, listen to me this morning, young people. God is only getting them. They only have one chance to raise you. And yet, you ask your mom and you ask your dad, give me a second chance. Give me a third chance. Give me a fourth chance. But yet, you give your parent one chance. Oh, bless your heart. The parents are human nature just like you. They're sinful just like you. They need mercy from their children because it is truly a battle and a challenge. A pastor said to me the other day, he said, I just don't want to raise my children today. He's already raised his children up. A man was exposed to transgender sex, homosexuality. Can't figure out what bathroom to go to. It's just a shame. You have to constantly be on guard, keeping your heart protected if you don't. I challenge you this morning, find a way to put Christ in charge of your life, and then watch bitterness become love and peace, and watch complaining become contentment, watch gossip become words of praise, rebellion become obedience, and selfishness become giving spirit, pride and humility. You'll see the evil thoughts turn to pure thoughts, criticism learn to turn to praise, and hate turn to love. And next thing you know, your heart is full of goodness of God. I say to you this morning, guard the heart, because if you do not guard the heart, you will not be here when this man retires. And then I've come in here this all this morning. Missionaries go down the road, they get over to the foreign field. They can't stay there because people in the church house did not take care of the heart. And because they didn't take care of the heart, they didn't ask God to walk with God on a daily basis. The heart is now protected. So therefore, you leave the church, and then the dwelling down goes, and the giving stops.
Yes, sir,
you're right. So I challenge you this morning. As you stay here, but all of you just lay your card down here on the board. Put them all together. Yeah, put them out there. Now let's go to the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, with the book of Ezra, we see here in about chapter 1, the book of Ezra, chapter 1, for those of you who haven't been saved very long, it's after 2 Chronicles, after the book of 2 Chronicles, we see here, and I'm going to read first a few verses in chapter 1, and the Bible says, and now, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, thought the word of the Lord came by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build a house at Jerusalem. And verse 3, pay attention to this with this. If you pay attention with me this morning, I don't want to lose you. I hope I can keep you, because it's very important what I'm about ready to start saying. It says, who is there among you, of all the people, of all his people, his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And it's the verse 4 says, whosoever remaineth in any place wherein he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him. I'm saying it. I pause right there for a moment. Here it is. You have the king of Cyrus. He has been given a command by God to go build. And he is to build, and there's a certain group that had to go. But while he is, there's a group that had to go. I challenge you this morning. That's what I am doing this morning. God has called me to go. And as I go, I am to go because God commanded me to go. But then they're going to see here, in first, let me remind you here, it says in verse number 4, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God. And verse 5, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, the Benjamin, and priests, the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Watch this in verse 6. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands. And verse in the last, and they strengthened their hands. Here it is this morning. There's two groups of people we see in Ezra chapter 1. There's a group that go and a group that stay. A group that go, if God has called you to go, by all means go. But if God has not called you to go, and by all means stay. If you are called to stay and stay and take care of the job of the church. God has put into the heart of the king of Cyrus to build. And then he had to have some people to help him build. If he could not build, he could not build without the people who stayed. God, in 18 years, 19 years ago, Pastor Sexton came here and God put in his heart a vision. Slowly, he didn't understand everything that God had in front of him or before him for the future, but he knew what God was putting in his heart. He knew that God called him here to this place, and he stayed in this place, and as he walks with God and talks with God and prays to God, he discovers that more and more, and the vision of God becomes more clear of what he wants in his life to show to you. I'm saying to you this morning that God has to use, and he wants to use, he desires to use those that stay. And those that stay, never underestimate your importance in the work of God. So often, and I'm thankful, listen to me this morning, I've been a part of ministries where there have been young people come by the groves, they surrender their lives to God. I've seen them all time and time and time again. Well, Pastor Sexton also makes it important where you see that the will of God. I remember my pastor in Oklahoma constantly having people come, surrendering their lives to go to the mission field, to become a preacher, become an evangelist, become a Sunday school teacher, become those working in God's work. And yet, you be careful this morning. If God has not called you, do not go, because your stay is vitally important to the livelihood of this church. And if you get to the foreign field, as Pastor Blue said, Brother Blue said last evening, if you get to the field, you quit. Discover all those miles and all that finances that was just put to the waste. I recently heard about a missionary going to Japan. I shouldn't have said that, but he's going somewhere. And then he decided early on in deputation that this is not for me. As much as I sorrow for that, I'm grateful he discovered it before he just barely started, and before he got down the road. It's better that he stops here for a place. I'm different than most. I am not of the mind. Let's go on with reputation, go through all the trials, and then we'll find out the really man made, that God made, that they can go on the mission field. I've been doing this for a long time. And you know, sometimes God puts something in our hearts, and there's different types of trials that bring people down. So I want to say to you this morning, if you don't, your job to stay, your job to stay is so crucial. It's so crucial that if you don't take care of your stay, the work of God cannot be built. Pastor, if I can borrow you for a moment. If you stand up here in the middle, I can have you come up here. You come up here. Yes. Yes, in a gray shirt, white hair, silver hair. Lock your arms, if you would. Lock your arms. Lock your arms with the pastor. God has put into the heart of King Cyrus to build. Come up here for a minute, will you? Come up here. God has put into the heart of King Cyrus to build. Now, and these people, if you read the scriptures, there's a masonry provided, there's a carpenter provided, there's a baker provided, and then you'll find that there's people provided to make the building of the work of God possible. God has put into the heart of the pastor. He shared with the church people, this is what we must do because God asked of us to do. And then we come together and we join hands with our pastor and we said, Pastor, we're with you because we believe you to be a man of God and you are the man that God has used to speak to my heart. We will build this together. Please understand, Pastor Sexton cannot do this work alone. He is able to give to these missionaries this morning because of men like you, men like you, men like you, people like you. It is the people of this church that help by their obedience to the Spirit of God, by the God come behind the pulpit, allow this vision to go forth. If these people did not listen to the pastor, pastor becomes frustrated, defeated, and exhausted, and many times just throw in the towel. But these people of this church have made a decision that this is the man of God. We love this man, and we believe that he is receiving the things from God, and we're going to lock hands, and we're going to build the work for God. I walked into this property, and for my very first impression, very clean, very tidy, very well kept. A size of a church does not determine its greatness. We hear that all the time. I think sometimes it's politics. Sometimes it's a man's ability to lead. It makes it grow great, but that's not the determinant of their spirituality of the church. But you see, this church could not continue to be clean. The carpet could not be clean. The furniture could not be dusted. And listen to me, it could not be done without the people of this church. The people that stayed behind and they gave into the offerings. And they gave of their money. They go to work. They get on the job. They arrive early in the morning. They go to work and they labor all day long. They go home and take care of their families. And then they go to the evening worship service. And then they hear the things of God. They go return home. They spend time with their family. They go to sleep. Wake up the next morning. They go to work. They arrive home. Then they go back to a place of worship. They're constantly growing. And God is using. And then they contribute. When they receive their paycheck, they receive. They believe in tithing. And because they're obedient of tithing, they put it into the offering. And because they're putting it into the offering, the work of God can be clean. I saw my dear brother back here on the video. What's his mustache guy? The other guy back there. Your husband. Huh? What? Mike. I'm sorry. I try to speak like Tennessee. Wednesday night I came in and I was watching Brother Mike over here just playing this boom, boom. And his eyeball kept watching that doo-doo that was on the floor. Somebody had dirty mud come in. There's mud. It was mud. I called it a doo-doo. And there was plop, plop, plop. And like five or six things. And Brother Mike was over here. He was over here. He was going. He was watching that doo-doo on the floor. And in his mind, at the service, I watched it. When the service was over with Pastor, the first thing he did, he didn't walk over and say, good job, preacher. He didn't do that. The first thing he did, he walked over here and said, I got to take care of that. Listen to me. We laugh at that. But a man of the church who sees the urgency of keeping this place clean and taking care of it is important. A man who hears who looks at these walls and says they need to be painted and say, Pastor, if you'd be okay with you, I'd like to put some paint together, put a brush together, and put some capable men together, please. Don't. you want to put? You see some paint jobs. Just don't bring Brian Williams into painting. No, that's already too good. But you paint. Somebody take care of the toilets. And you make sure they stay clean. The trash cans stay empty. And you and I, we all get to go down to the cafeteria when it's all over with. We get to enjoy the meal. But there are some ladies, some men who came together, set the tables and cooked the food and laid out the chips and put over the tablecloth. And they did all these things prepared and equipped for the coming crowd. I'm saying to you this morning, it is a combination of locking hands and moving forward with the vision that God has put into the pastor's heart. But it will not continue on if we refuse to join. Come up here, young man, if you would. Come up. No, okay. Yeah, come up here, brother. You come up here. You come up here. You go over there on that side. Go over that side. Hurry. Hustle. I got to hurry. Hustle. Don't get mad at me. Hurry. Come up here. Here. You come up here. Hustle. You guys fast. Move. You don't lock hands.
No, we ain't locking.
You're different. You're different. You get down here. Okay. You're different. He's different. Now here, listen, please. Lock hands. If you want, let me show you something. Gotta hurry. If you want some good things to happen, in Ezra chapter 3, verse number 7, they gave of their money unto the masonry, chapter 3, verse 7. They gave of their money unto the masonry, unto the carpenters, and to the meat, and drinking, and oil, unto Zidon, and to them that was hired to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that had given to the king, the sire, the king of Persia. I'm saying this morning, that group stood together as one. But watch this. In chapter 3 of verse number 11. And they sang together the chorus of praising and giving of thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercies endure forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout that they praised the Lord, because the foundations of the house of the Lord was laid. Now watch this very carefully. I'm coming down. I'm winding this thing down. And verse number 12. It said that many of the priests, of the Levites, of the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that they have seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes. They wept with a voice. They wept with a loud voice, and many shouted for joy. They sang together and they sang praises unto God, because the work of God had continued on. And now this generation who made the sacrifices, who gave and who prayed and who worked and who labored, and they had their children, and they brought them up in the house of the Lord. And now this children, it said in verse 13, it said, and the ancient men, who were ancient men, they rejoiced with a shout of joy, because they saw now the first house had been built. They laid the foundation. They got this thing moving forward. But now this man is growing weary. He's growing of age, and he can no longer move it forward like he once did. But then God puts into the cause of their slough and their sacrifices and their sweat and their tears. And now another generation come forth, and they press forth. And they do the work of God. And the work of God continues. And watch this very carefully. And because this, God put into the heart of this, and their sacrifices move forward, And then the work of God continues. And then God can do something special. And a vision might be different. They might say, well, instead of having pews, I'm going to have chairs. Now, that might be a little different in those generations. But it's nothing of compromising. But I'm saying to you this morning, if you understand that compromise, by all means, I pray that it doesn't ever happen. But it is possible that the next generation can continue what this generation has sacrificed. Those people who do not go, you understand, when you don't take care of your stay, it is often said that missionaries will come back home under-supported because the people of the church did not take care of their stay. They didn't paint the walls. They didn't take care of the doo-doo. They didn't take care of the trash can. And they did not give up their offering. They did not give up their tithes. And then what happens is the church dwindled down because something that may have happened. But yet they can't get past that. Every church is a body of people who love God, who came together to save, and they've been born again by the blood bought of Christ. And they come together. And I say to you this morning, if there's going to be problems in the church. The deaf people, when the deaf people get mad, you know what they do? Oh, let me back up. What hearing people do when they get mad at somebody in the church, they go to the back row. When deaf people get mad, they go out the door. That's true. They come back about 6 months later. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, your job is stay is so important. Never think that those that go have all the glory. Because it's never been about glory. It's been about the work of bringing people to Christ. And your job of seemingly being a nobody is vitally important. Because you see, when they made their sacrifices, these people got to go. Excuse me, these people made their sacrifice, the next generation came. And now this, thank you, you can all be seated. You stay. Thank you. But this generation will continue because this generation taught them how to stay and work for. But it cannot happen. It will not happen if you and I do not take care of this, the heart. How many people in your 19 plus years of here that used to sit in these pews? Some tragic stories have happened, but it all boils down, Jimmy, right? If it all boils down to Jimmy, reading his word, reading the word of God, pray, loving God, loving people, caring about the work of God, to take care of the hearts. If he does not guard the hearts, wrong decisions will come and will destroy your life. And as a result, the livelihood of the church. Keep in mind, the church is you. It's not the building. It's the place you meet. And when you don't take care of your heart, take care of your home, the quality of this church diminishes. And when it diminishes, your ability to give is limited. And then missionaries that you support will come back under-supported. And they have to go and find new support. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have no idea what time I start. I'm sorry. I usually keep track. Sorry, I don't see no clock in front of me. Maybe a reason why. I'm going to share very quickly. This is an ermine. There's a quality about this ermine. Now, see, I'm speaking to deaf people this morning. That's my type of, that's the way we preach to the deaf. I do anyway. It's a visual aid. This is an ermine. An ermine. I discovered one. I saw one at Alaska last summer. But I'll say this. They have a quality about them that all of us should have. It's as white, as pure as it can be. But it will, when the prey comes upon it, they want to keep their heart. That means they want to keep their fur clean. When the prey comes upon them, instead of fighting, they will flee to a place where they can be protected. In this case, they'll be in a log. They're running for the log, and there's no place else to escape. They run for the log. And once they approach the log, they see that the log is filled with filth, pollution, slop. They refuse to get their fur filthy, so they choose to turn and fight till death, because their cleanness and purity means something to them. I'm saying to you this morning, if we're going to take care of our state, we first got to take care of this. Who or what is going to live here based upon your decisions that you make? Father, help us this morning to make our hearts always be mindful of what must be done, keeping our hearts clean. Father, I pray this morning that you will help us to constantly fight to take care of our stay and never to allow the enemies of God to destroy what you want to build. May the next generation prosper because of the sacrifices of the first building. Building the first building, and may it go forth. God help us all to be of the mind that we must fight till death to preserve our purity. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.